This is Infidel One. Offending Coyote Down. Offending Coyote Down.
Roger that.
Welcome to Trappin' Radio. We're proud, organic, free-range, wild fur farmers of North America.
Let me tell you a little story about how I was raised. Every day work, every day pray. God, family, friends, yeah, everybody sins. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. Help folks in need, don't fall for greed. A jealous man is weak, so think before you speak. If you love them, let them know. If you hate, let it go. Fast can be fun, but sometimes you need slow. God is all good, the devil is so real. So listen up, y'all, cause this is how I feel.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
Now let's cover our sponsors. They do a lot to help support Trappin' Radio. So I'm asking you guys out there and gals to help support our sponsors as they keep Trappin' Radio on the air. First sponsors, Oki Cable and Trap Supply. Jeb's the owner of this. He's out of Oklahoma. Super guy. You'll not meet anybody nicer. It's somebody you're going to want to deal with. You can reach him at oktrapsupply.com. You can give Jeb a call at 918-429-4648. Not only does he do trap supply guys, he's a fur buyer, so if you're around the Oklahoma or surrounding states, give him a call with your fur. When you need stuff, give him a call and he'll get it out to you as soon as he can. Our second sponsor is F&T Fur Harvesters Trading Post. Everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. Guys, if you're into trapping fur, hunting fur, chasing fur with dogs, you're not going to be able to think of hardly anything that you can't get from F&T. You can reach them at fntpost.com. You can also give them a call at 989-727-8727. Whatever you want, F&T's got it. Wildlife Control Supplies, proven solutions for wildlife control, delivering value, expertise, and products to the wildlife individual. If you're in the ADC business, control business, even fur trapping, you need to look at these guys' website. Top-notch company, have everything you would want, even the odd stuff that ADC guys are looking for. You can reach them at wildlifecontrolsupplies.com. You can give them a call at 877-684-7262. International number is 860-844-0101. If you're a wildlife control professional, you need to have Wildlife Control Supplies as one of your favorites on your computer or your phone, because when you come across something that you need specialized equipment, Alan will get it right out to you. Now let's go trapping.
See, I'm a flag flying, Bible toting son of a gun. Yeah, I'm hell on the heart, just a rebel on the run. Scared, don't know it, fear, don't feel it. The truth is the light, sometimes you gotta fight. Good beats bad, right beats wrong. I'm a barroom preacher and this is my song. I'm climbing for the top, representing for the country. I'm the people's champ, right out to dead camp. Shotgun toter, Republican voter. Hank Jr. supporter, let's protect our border. To hell with anyone who don't believe in the USA. Cause this is what I say.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got...
Right, this is Clint Locklear with Trapping Radio, and I have the death dealer himself, which makes me wish. You know, Jeff, I need to get one of those things that, you know, like you get like a voice machine where it could sound like it's like WWF, death dealer, something like that.
Yep, I'd like that. And you could play like the introductory music, I think, too.
Most of the stuff you pick is actually pretty cool. So, but
yeah.
The reason I ask you to be on here, man, is on Facebook, I had a guy ask a question, or actually several.
And they're kind of based around the same thing. And it, since it's not something I've done a whole lot of, I figured I better get a hold of somebody that does so I don't make stuff up. And then, for your own pleasure, when I told Cindy that I was going to do the radio interview with you and what it is, she gave me some questions from her to ask you about this topic.
Oh, great. Oh, man.
From a non-trapper, I thought it was like, I'm like, cool, we'll see how he handles this.
And as you know, I don't even know what you're going to ask me. So.
No, you have no idea, which is the way I like doing it. Just so
it's, yeah, I know you do.
It's a little real that way.
I think I'm safer doing the fur report.
No, dude, you'll do good. Before we do, though, did you listen to Trump's speech today?
No, I didn't.
I mean, I'm not a political, cheerleader by any stretch, but I listened to part of the speech he did where he's taking us out of the Paris Treaty on the global warming.
Yep.
Dude, you've got to listen to that. I'm sure it's on YouTube or something by now. You talking about American pride, and I'll be honest, as embarrassing as it is, I think I had a political Woody there for a little bit.
I can relate to that. I got some of the speeches he gave in the past. He makes you feel patriotic more than normal.
Well, what he did, which I've never heard a president do, is he was very gracious, and it's just not the best for us. And then he spent 30 minutes why it was bad for America, why it was punishing America, and we're not going to do it. And I was like, freaking A. I mean, something you would have never even heard from Bush. I mean, maybe from Ronald Reagan. That was the closest. You know, and comparing Trump to Ronald Reagan's kind of scary. But, I mean, the way he did that was, there were liberals, I guarantee you, that committed suicide this afternoon on the global warming.
I almost accidentally said, oh, that's too bad.
I mean, some of the stuff he said was just so spot on. He was like, we're not going to do it because we're going to be just giving countries money that don't have to do anything for the climate, like India. China can do whatever they want to for the next 13 years. It's going to curtail all of our energy usage. And then China, in 14 days, by what they're doing right now, they can take away everything that we spend all this money on because they're not really doing anything in the treaty. And the only person that, and the only country that was going to be really locked up by this was going to be us. I mean, that was an amazing, I mean, really, really cool. At least I thought it was.
Well, we were going to be locked. We were going to be locked up in it, and we were going to be footing the bill. So,
I mean, it was so spot on. He was like, now, if we do this and all the countries actually do what they say they're going to do, by 2100, I guess, if that's a real thing, because you got to double check Trump sometimes. But in the year 100, so I guess that'd have been, see, what would that be really? 2200, is that right? See, it's 2017, so that'll be 2000 or year 3000 or whatever. I don't even know how to figure that up. Anyway, in like 70 years, it was only supposed to correct the global warming by 0.2 degrees of Celsius.
Yeah, they basically ain't gonna do nothing. They in India, then they start claiming that they're gonna make it. You know, they're not gonna do any cleanup if we don't give them the money.
Well, yeah, that's
Don't clean up. I don't care. You can burn it to the ground. I don't care. I like Trump because he stands for America. Do I agree with every single thing he says? Yeah, pretty much. I do. and you know what? If Nancy Pelosi says something, I'm on the opposite end of anything that she's got to say. I got no use for her. And, I'm way more vicious than what I'm saying. I got no... I got no use for them liberals whatsoever. They are against everything we stand for. They don't want us trapping. They don't want us owning guns. They want us to be slaves to them. And I ain't no slave. So I guess we're going to have a problem at some point in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's kind of what that whole Paris Treaty thing was. You know, it had nothing to do with the climate. It was all about redistribution of wealth from us to everybody else.
And they want to give the power to the world community. And, you know, even, I mean, what it all amounts to is it's all, you know, not to get into some biblical thing, but, you know, they're going to try and make a world government in the end, according to the Bible. And I believe the Bible 100%. And in the end, you know, they're going to make a world government. Well, that's why everything keeps pushing that way, you know, because of that. And, you know, and we all live in this world, but I'm not a world citizen. I'm an American citizen. And I really don't care what the rest of them do.
Totally concur, man. But yeah,
I know you do.
You've got to listen to that speech. I mean, what the way he blistered these other countries publicly was just amazing. And that's what it was. It was a blister. I mean, it was a spanking nationally.
Well, I liked when he got up there when he was talking about NATO, and they're all standing behind him, and he just tells them, you ain't paying your fair share. You've never paid your fair share, but you're going to start paying your share. You know, I mean, you know, they're all the liberals are having CNN, the fake news. You know what? He said it right to their face. He didn't backbite them. I mean, you know, like I say, I think he's great. I like the everything about him, basically, you know. Compared to what we've dealt with for the last 8 years, I think he's 10 perfect. You know, I mean, that guy that was our president, and he was our president for the last 8 years, you know, he stood for everything I'm against, everything.
I mean, the thing with Trump, I wish they'd take his Twitter away or at least make him run through there, because, I mean, some of the words he makes up, you just kind of sit there with your mouth open trying to figure out what in the world he's talking about. But besides
what I think with what he does, because he is way smarter than them liberals give him credit for, if he's going, throwing at, you know, like, normally the Republicans are off chasing the rabbit all the time. You know, they send a thing out and the Republicans chase it. What if Trump is doing that with his Twitter and all the other crazy stuff? He's got the CNN and all them chasing all this crazy Russian stuff and all this other stuff. And in the end, he's working behind the scenes getting all this stuff done, which he has got a lot of it done. You know, and they're not even concentrating on any of that. It's all the crazy stuff.
Well, you're not supposed to say that out loud now.
Well, they don't listen to me. I'm a trapper. They don't, you know.
Okay, so we're going to start with the real questions before we get to Cindy's questions.
All right.
Okay, I wish it, when I wrote these down, I wish I would have wrote what state this gentleman was from, but it's all about ice and snow, and
all right.
I'm pretty sure all of this is for predators.
Okay.
But if you want to throw something in for muskrats or beaver or whatever, go right ahead. But what he's asking about is... When you go trap out on those lakes, I wish people wouldn't be calling while we're trying to record. But he's wanting to know is, how do you trap on the ice for cats, coyotes, and fox? I mean, how are you physically doing that so your sets still work, Jeff?
What I'm looking for out on the lakes is even if it's just reeds coming out, because you'll have that along the edge, you'll have reeds, and they'll make like points and stuff. What I'm looking for on that ice, I'm looking for that point, because, you know, a lot of this stuff we figure we know what they're doing, but we don't really know for sure. But I figure when they're running down that lake, it's the same way out in the field. Is there, when you're walking, you're going to hit that. You're going to walk to something. Even if you're just walking down a lake, you're always going to be walking to something because your eye just hits it. And the same way with them coyotes, they're just kind of running down the edge. But I think they're hitting them points because that's what their eye is. So I'm always looking for them points. And a lot of times on a 200 acre lake, then coyotes will be spread out over, say, an eighth of a mile when different coyotes are coming down through there. And on them points, they'll narrow right down to where you could hang a snare or blind set them there. I don't, but, because a lot of the stuff I'm trapping is public ground, we can't do that here. But, but that's the location, the best location is on them points. And what I'll do is I'll just get on them points. They might be cattails, reeds, whatever. I'll try and find like a stump or, a piece of wood sticking up as my backing and almost make it like a urine post set type deal. And then I'll chisel off the bed real carefully, and you don't want to go through the ice. So you just chisel it out. Then you'll take some, say, wax dirt or peat moss, put it in the bottom of there. And what you're going to do with a stake is you're just going to take a Freedom Brand Wolfang, and not in your bed, but off to the side. Because if you do it in your bed, like if you're ice fishing and you spot a hole, that water comes back up and will fill that hole up. So you got to do it off to the side and put that wolf thing, drive it right through the ice. And it won't come back up. And the other thing is then you just, where your cable is, now I'm using 3/32 cable. You could use 1/8 of it, makes you feel better. And it's chisel you a little bed out for that cable to run over to your trap, like you would, if you're using the dragon, and just cover it up with the ice that's there or the snow. Then all you're going to do is just bed that trap right in that hole on that peat moss or that wax dirt that I'm using, because the wax dirt I'm using is real fine. I'm using wax paper, putting that over, and then putting the wax dirt over the top. And it, or, you could use peat moss. I prefer the wax dirt. But either you're going to go and you're going to make that bed or where your trap's bedded to blind it in. Either you can take, I got a little whisper of them, you can take and make that pattern real big, so it doesn't look unnatural or just one spot where your trap is with dirt. You make that pattern bigger. Mm-hmm. Or you can, if the snow is right, or the ice, I'll kind of blend it in and put a little bit over the top of that wax dirt. And when you put that snow over the top of it, just a little bit with that whisper room, and then kind of mix it in with the dirt on there, it'll blend in real good, and it won't freeze it like it would if you just put it over a bunch of it over the top of the wax dirt. But otherwise, it'll crust on the top on a cold night. So, but that's and I just put lure or whatever on the back of the, like that stump where I try to sit by the, something as a backing. You can go and take your driver. You got, deep enough ice, break a dirt, like a dirt hole in the back of there, right in the ice. But a lot of times it'll start slipping when you try to get it on an angle, so that's why I try and find a backing. That's how I set them.
Well, let's break that down for a Southern Appalachian redneck a little bit. There's a few things that you said. I know what you mean, but to someone that may be listening, because what you're talking about, you do on a regular basis, so you're kind of used to it. When you say chipping ice, when you say the snow is right, and I'm curious, do you make your own wax dirt? So that's three things that popped in my mind from what you just said. Like how do you chip? When you say you chip the ice, I mean, when you say
I got one of them Freedom Brand hammers, and I use like the part where you dig it. Like if you're digging a dirt hole, you're gonna chop your bed out of the dirt. That's the chisel part. I'll use that to break it out. I mean, you could use an axe or anything, but that seems to have a good angle on it for doing that. And
just the digger part.
Just the digger part.
Okay.
And when you chip that out, you want that thing just pin perfect,
for your trap to set on. I'll put my trap over the top, and you know how you get the muscle memory. You know, after I start doing it, I won't have to put it. But at first, when I start, or if you're going to start it, put your trap over it, then chisel out. Put your trap over it, chisel out, to start getting an eye for it, because you want that tight. You know, so that trap fits right down in there, and won't, because otherwise you're going to have a wobble to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to be able to bed it with that wax dirt or that peat moss. So you got to have it tight down in there.
That makes sense. When you said chisel, I was picturing like having like a wood chisel out there, like an artist beating that thing in.
No. The other thing you want to do is get that, you can use that the hammer or whatever you're using. You want to get that the bottom of, because a lot of times in the dirt, you know, you'll start getting a little bit of a cone at the bottom. You don't want that with that on the ice. You want that just flat as can be on the bottom of that. You know, so that trap, especially like I'm using number two Bridgers, Douglas, they set real good on that ice, you know, but you got to get it flat.
Okay. Well,
and if you're in a northern state, I mean, you get, and if you guys start getting on them creeks and stuff, I mean, every predator is going to run that ice, especially on that, when it starts getting where they can get out on it. For some reason, they're going to run that ice. And as the winter goes on, it seems to back off a little bit, you know. But you're right on location, especially on the smaller creeks and stuff.
From okay, if you got to have it flat on the bottom, just thinking out loud, Jeff, is a D-ring base plate, does that hurt you because it's not flat, or?
No, because, you know, it's not going to be perfectly flat. You know, you're never going to get it perfect, you know, like cement. And that's why you put on the bottom of there also to cover, you know, to kind of have something for it to set in, is to put the wax dirt on the bottom until it doesn't freeze down. You know, so, you know, but I got the D-rings on mine, and, you know, it does, if you get that tight, it'll fit right down in there, and it won't wobble even with that D, because you're sitting, you know, in, say, an inch of wax dirt, maybe an inch and a half.
Well, when I was in Alaska, Jeff, I remember talking to some of the old timers. When they sat on the ice, they always put wax paper between the ice and whatever their medium was. Do you do that or not? Or is there a reason why?
I will use, like, if I'm sitting in the snow sometimes, like, say, in my mind, I'm thinking of this one place I would sit on a bait. And I'll use, you know, wax paper, you know, on the bottom and on the top. But as I've gotten using that wax dirt more, I just, you know, I feel so comfortable with that I won't have any problems. I just, you know, just go with that. But there's no reason why I don't, because, you know, another thing is that, you know, there's no crinkle to it, you know, the wax dirt, like there can be. I crimp mine up, my wax paper up. I'm especially on the top, because if there's any blowage or anything, you know, you got them seams in that wax paper, it'll catch that stuff a little bit and won't let it blow off quite as easy.
Okay, that makes sense. So when you're talking about the snow is right, I'm assuming very cold, it's not thaw, it's low humidity at that time. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, when it's like crystallized. If we're going to get a cold snap, the only time I'm going to put that snow on my trap is if it's going to be a cold snap for quite a while. And but if I can make a snowball, you know, out of the snow, I'm not putting it on my trap, because it's going to get cold at night and it's going to freeze. But like I say, you can put a little bit on with, like, say, a whisk broom, and then just kind of work it in, you know, like in circular motion. On your trap bed, right into the wax dirt, and it won't freeze. I can't say it never wouldn't freeze, because, you know, but generally it won't freeze, because it's like you got the molecules of the dirt and the snow mixed together. But I'm just talking about putting, like, a, you know, taking a whisk broom and whisk brooming a little bit on top, not, you know, an inch or 2 inches of snow over the top of it. You know,
okay.
You're just trying to blend it in. You know, make it look like not some weirdo thing just sitting out there with your trap with some dirt on it. You're trying to cover it up.
Well, one thing I remember that just for anybody that's when I was in Alaska, you learn some things along the way. And I was trapping out of a little S10 Blazer when I was up there. So I'd have my traps in the back. I have the heat on, of course. So the metal was warmer than 20 or 30 below like it was outside. And I could put the trap in, but them dang things would melt the snow and the ice. It would cause its own ice ball because the trap would be at, say, 40 degrees.
Yeah.
And then you put that in the snow. So are you just keeping your equipment in the back of the truck so it's all a consistent temperature? Or is that just getting too far in the weeds to matter?
I just keep it in the back of the truck. But generally, I'm in northern Michigan, usually we're not getting that, warmed up to worry about it, and if it starts getting up to 45, 50 degrees and that snow starts melting, your traps are going to definitely be sticking out. You'll have to go fix them, but it's no different than, if you get 2 or 3 inches of rain, you're going to have to go fix them. It's just, that's trapping. Mm-hmm. Half the time's remaking the stuff and keeping it working.
Right.
The only thing they have to watch is setting on the ice, is if you get a rainstorm, sometimes in the wintertime it'll rain. And if that water gets on top of that ice, if you're going to get rain, get out there and get them traps pulled, because that water will come up over it, then you'll get cold weather and they'll be frozen in a block of ice you have to chip through to get out. Or you'll be out there with a metal detector in the springtime finding them.
Yeah, that's why I don't deal with stuff like that. That just sounds like a bad day.
I think it's fun. I love it. But I got a video of that, and I'll put it up on Wolfer Nation YouTube. So the guys, if they have, they're not getting the visual or the audio how this is working, they can see the video.
Okay.
I'll put it up on Wolfer Nation YouTube so that they can kind of get the gist of it.
That's cool. So are you doing anything different between cats, coyotes, and fox? Or is it kind of a general set that you're putting out there?
Just a general predator set. In Michigan, we only can, where I'm at, we only keep one cat. We can keep another one in the UP. But if I was targeting, cats on the ice, I would get right out on them, on the beaver houses or stuff like that, old beaver houses, muskrat houses, stuff like that, and use a lot more eye appeal than what I'm using, because I don't use any really eye appeal, but
because you're being on those points, that's putting you directly, they're gonna be within a few feet.
And if there isn't any points, which there generally is, I never see any place here, but, maybe somebody will have it. But, muskrat houses, if you can legally set on a muskrat house, them are killer spots for all predators. Or you walk out after a fresh snow and they're on a muskrat marsh, and them coyotes and fox are going to be running down hitting them muskrat houses, So, the muskrat houses are on the ice are definitely killer spots.
Is it legal to set them in Michigan?
No.
Is it legal to set them anywhere?
I don't know that. I know it is in some places, but I ain't exactly sure, so I ain't going to say.
Okay, so check your laws on that.
Check your laws. But in Michigan, we can't molest a muskrat house, and I'm not sure, that sounds real bad. I'm not sure what exactly molest, but I'm guessing, you're not allowed to do anything. But if you set off of the muskrat house to the side, you're still getting the eye appeal and you're not touching the muskrat house. So that's kind of the way I do it.
That's a terrible word, molest. That makes me think of that movie American Apple Pie or American Pie, whatever that is.
I know. It's like, you may not molest a muskrat house. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not sure exactly. I'm not exactly sure what this means, but it sounds pretty bad.
I was not molesting the muskrat house. It gave me consent. Well, one thing you just said that popped in my head, which this is one of those things, Jeff, that may sound really good with me sitting in Tennessee where it's about 85 degrees today.
Yeah.
But out on that ice, if you were to chip out, like put in half of a beaver carcass, chip that ice, if you had enough ice to chip it out where you could get half the beaver carcass under the ice and then have a thermos of hot water and pour over the top so it would cause a beaver sickle that would be frozen in, you would think that a coyote, a bobcat, or a fox would have to spend hours trying to get that out of there.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely could do that, but, you know, say you're going to go out and put out 40 or 50 of them, you know, it would take a lot more time. What the way I do it, and they eat it faster than what you're talking about, so I'll take the wolf thing, I'll go out and I'll try and find an opening, like in the cattails or the reeds or whatever, like a big opening in someplace. And I'll take one or two wolf things, drive them through the ice, and I got my cable, you know, just like you would for driving them in the ground. And I'll just hook wire on each of them and then wire them off to the, say, a beaver carcass or whatever I'm using. I mean, I pulled about everything out on the ice, luring them in. The only thing doing that, though, is, if you got eagles or something in your area, you got to... A lot of times, if I'm going to do that, what I'll do is I'll set off of them. Like, I'm using that to pull them into the area, but I'm not going to set right on top of that unless I got a tree cover, like in a thick cedar swamp where I don't have problems with the eagles. But if I got that bait, I'll just set off of it. And they're working the area so heavy, so you'll pick them up anyway.
Okay. So you think even with, I guess, if you, like, just covered them up with reeds to make, like, an overgrown cache set, once they get that stuff off there, then you're back into eagle problems.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the next question he has was bog type setting, and I'm assuming when he's saying bog, he's either meaning, I guess, like a swamp or in the ice when you're on that. Because when I was trapping around Grand Rapids, we would get into, I don't know what it was. It was like peat moss, black, gunky stuff that was hard as a brick when it was dry, and it was absolute nasty when it was wet.
Yeah.
So what do you think he means by bog?
Probably just like an old beaver pond, you know, something like that. Here in Michigan, we'd be driving down the road and there'd be like, you know, some standing water that probably would, winter kill the fish in it, you know, something like that. Or maybe old, you know, something like a old cranberry marsh, you know, bog. That's what I consider a bog.
And your set would pretty much be the same?
Yeah. Yep.
Would you set those, is my question.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they're going to come down on that ice. I definitely would set it. I mean, on a bog with no inlets, they've just hypothetically say there's no inlets to it. On the bigger water and on creeks and stuff like that where it runs further, you know, you're going to have them are travel ways, and they're traveling in through them. Like a bog, or at least I'm considering a bog, there is, that's not a travel way. They might come slipping down through there, and you're definitely going to catch some on them, but it's not a heavy travel way, like, say, the edge of a long lake or a big river or something like that.
So if he is referring to something like a beaver swamp, or what I would consider a beaver swamp, would you, first off, I guess, can you set within 10 feet of a beaver dam if it's not for a beaver?
I don't know, you know, where he's at. We just can't set on the dam.
Okay. So would you target like the dam area or the beaver house or where the creek comes into it? What would you look at a beaver swamp in the winter to try to target?
If you could set on the side, you know, along by the beaver house legally, that's where I would target. If not, I'd find out. See if I could find out, you know, a lot of times like them cats will come slipping right up over you know, the Passover on the dams. You'll see the cataracts coming right up them, you know. So I would just figure out where they're coming on the ice. There's always going to be a place where they're coming on the ice and going off the ice, and a lot of times every year it's going to be the same spot, so you can reset them spots. But I would try and find out, like if you're trapping coyotes, where they're coming on that ice and coming off, you know. And but along that dam is, you know, going to be key, because I mean they've been crossing that dam for, you know, 8 or 9 months out of the year, and they feel comfortable there.
Right, that makes sense.
They're just not going to cross it like they were when there was no ice. They're going to be more scattered in what they're doing.
Do they seem to run around and like checking out just everything that's coming up out of the ice, or do they, once the ice is on, do they seem to make, you know, like your, you know, territory markers or anything? I mean, what do you see when you're out there?
Mostly they're just running. There doesn't, other than the points, the points and where they go on and off, unless you put a bait out there, there's, you know, they're just running. Yeah, I mean, like, I followed coyote tracks running down the ice for like 4 or 5 miles, and I quit following. I've done the drone on them for a mile, you know, just seeing where they would cut off, and, you know, they just keep going. It's like they get on that ice and just start booking. So, which it's got its good and bad qualities. The good qualities is they're running like that down the ice. You got a, you know, good chance that, you know, you're gonna have a pack of coyotes come through. The bad thing is if they just came through last night and you said today, they might not come back for a while, you know. So, at least in this country.
So are you, when you're going out, are you looking for, I mean, are you looking for sign even though you have to wait? Are you trying to outguess them, to get them before you see the tracks?
Yeah, when I go out, I'm hoping I don't see no tracks, because I know that they're going to come through. If I see tracks, if I don't see no tracks all day, I'm a lot more positive at the end of the day than if I see a bunch of tracks, which seems weird, but you know, I know them coyotes came through there, and they might not be back for a while, you know, so I'm going to have to keep them traps working until, you know, they come zipping back through there or another bunch comes through.
Well, I guess that's like otter trapping. I mean, you don't want to see
exactly like otter trapping.
Don't want to see last night's scat or last night tracks.
Nope. Nope, that's the last thing you want. You want to set where there ain't no sign.
Well, his other question is rivers and frozen beaver runs. So I guess that's about the same as a swamp. And then he's talking about through the cattails. So are you always, when you're doing through the cattails or off the points, are you always, do you ever do any blind sets?
A little bit. Not a lot on the ice, I don't. I wanted to, like in them spots where I say on the points where they, you know, they single file right down through and stuff, but I haven't done enough to be confident in doing it on, you know, blind setting on the ice. It can be done. I have no doubt that it can be done. But, you know, like I say, I definitely wouldn't say that I'm proficient at blind setting on the ice by any means.
Okay. Because I remember I came across a dude in Alaska one time, and outside of Fairbanks, there is, I'm trying to think of the name of it. I mean, everybody knew what it was. It was like, I bet it was 5 or 6 square miles of nothing but marsh. You'd have open water, then land, then cattails, and then, you know, just that repeated like forever. And everybody went out and duck hunted. Well, I was out there looking around in the winter, and I came across a guy that was snaring. And his setup was really, I thought, pretty slick. He would get on those points you're talking about with the cattails, or he would better yet find the point, and he would literally, you could see on the ice where he would cut out like a foot and a half section just so they wouldn't have to go all the way to the point.
Mm-hmm.
And he would cut that off at the ice, and then what it looked like he was doing is he would put a something on the end of his snare, drop it down through the ice, but not set it the first night. And then he would take a stick and he would push that down through the same hole so he had a support. And that had wire on it. And then he would come back the next day. At least that's what it looked like to me. And then he would come back the next day and it was staked and he had his support and his support wire there. Then he would just open loops the second day.
Yeah.
And you could tell from the burn circles, he tore Red Fox up.
Yeah, I believe that 100%. The problem here is we can only use the cable restraints, and it seems like a lot of the ground that I trap on the ice is state land, and but there was one place this year where I was using the cable restraints, and what I did for the support wire is I took the Free and Brand Wolf Fangs, and I would run that, I think it was number 9 wire, and then I'd run it through the eye where you'd hook your S-hook, and I would take a pair of pliers and tighten that down. Well, then I'd drive that Wolf Fang down into the ice, and then that, you know, that wire sticking up right where you want it to be, and it worked real good. It worked good.
I could see that working.
I've heard about a lot of them guys doing that where they, in the old days, when that freeze in the ice, their traps and, everything else, or their chains and everything else, the whole wolves and everything,
Well, the book.
I got the wolf thing, so that's why I'm going.
I'm sure in Alaska, when I went to one of those meetings, what they were showing is on the end of the snare, they would cut deadwood and let it season during the summer so the beaver wouldn't screw with it.
Yeah.
And it would be about 10, 12 inches long and about 2 inches round. And they would just hook their snare and tighten it on the middle. And then that way they could push that down through the hole. And then when it kind of floated back up, it'd be perpendicular to the hole. And they'd have to break out the whole chunk of ice to get loose. And for people listening, Jeff's not playing Darth Vader. He's sitting on the side of the road, so we have signal to do this. All right. So, are you ready? Anything else you want to talk about the snow or the ice? I mean, for one, safety seems to be, you would have to be somewhat cautious or experienced not to get in trouble.
Guys that have trapped in the snow and the ice and stuff, they know. So I'm not telling them something they don't know. But for guys you're just getting into trapping and stuff, what'll happen is you'll be trapping on dry ground. We'll get to snow, and then you'll see caillou tracks, like run past your trap. You'll see all this stuff, this sign. The thing is, don't get discouraged, because you were catching them before and you'll catch them again after the snow. But the difference is now you're seeing what the caillou's actually doing. Before, you weren't seeing what he's doing. He was doing the same thing, just you didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
So, watch the track. And that's just, you can learn more out of, in the snow about caillou's, fox, cats, in an hour than what you can learn in a week or more on dry ground. You're seeing exactly what they're doing. You might not understand what they're doing. You don't even have to understand what they're doing. You just have to know that they're continuously doing it over and over and pick up on their patterns that they're doing. And, just be observant and get on a caillou track and follow it for half a mile and through the woods and just see how he's moving and what he's doing, I like the snow. I love going down south because I like the people and I love the food down there. But the last couple of years staying home traveling on the ice, it's been a lot of fun. So aggravating at times, but
I have a feeling when anybody, I went through this when I was shooting the night vision stuff. You think you know what's supposed to happen, and then you see that you don't know what's supposed to happen. And you start scrambling for an answer, and there's really not an answer sometimes.
No.
I mean, you can see patterns, but a lot of times you see stuff that just doesn't make sense.
Yep. The only thing that makes sense is you just keep that trap working no matter what kind of weather happens. You just keep that trap working, and that's all that matters. Nothing else matters but keeping that trap working.
Well, that makes sense. Are you ready for Cindy's questions?
No, that's the ones I've been nervous about.
Okay, have you ever fell in while you were trapping out on the ice?
Oh, yeah. Yep. So, you know, last year I fell through three times, and I think it was three. Alan Probst was with me the one time. And
I bet he was a big help. He just probably laughed and tried to keep the camera going.
Yeah, yeah. If you're in a life-threatening situation through the ice and Alan's got a camera in his hand, don't count on him for any help. Thanks, Alan. But yeah, then a couple days before he cut, I fell through like three times. The one time I knew I was probably going through, I took pictures of him, put it on Facebook, and everybody got a good laugh out of it. So as long as everybody got a good laugh and I survived, it's all good.
Now, are you kind of like a Boy Scout? Is it something that you just always have fresh coveralls or something in your truck to change into?
Oh, no. You know me. I'm not that organized. You know, you just wear wet. Thank God I had my wool clothes on, because then, you know, you just warm back up. But, yeah. No. I got lucky. The one time before Alan got there, the same spot I fell through when he was there, I had a chainsaw and I was walking over there to Muskrat House, and there was 8 inches of ice. And I said, that ice thing looks weird. And it was not ice, it was slush. And I took a step and went boosh right through the ice, you know. But I mean, right here is 8 inches. Right there, it's basically open water.
Mm.
And I never did get that muskrat.
Okay. What do you like about trapping in the ice and snow?
I like it. Because you can see what's going on with the animals. They're... Until the coyotes start rubbing, you can pull up there and you got them in the snow. I mean, that's as good as they're ever going to get, generally. There's something about a coyote or a red fox jumping in the white snow. It just, just trips my trigger. Mm-hmm. It really does. And
do you find there's less people out, or is there less competition, or is all that about the same?
Yeah, no, there's less competition. As the season goes on, the guys, you drop out, as it gets harder, they drop out, a lot of them. There's still some guys out there, but you start running, but then it switches where there's more dog hunters. Like here, the bobcat dog season opens January 1st and runs through, I think, the end of February, and them guys are running coyotes, so you run into more dog guys that time of year, which here hasn't been a problem for me like in other spots, so. But the competition is definitely down in the wintertime. I'm trapping in this area.
Well, she also wants to know, how far out do you go out on the ice? Like, what's the distance? What's the farthest you've ever went out and set a trap?
Usually you're just trapping along the edges, but like on some of the muskrat marshes, like the one this year, I was walking probably out like half a mile, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's not like a half a mile and you're in 100 foot of water or something. It's a half a mile and it's, 3-4 foot deep at the deepest. So you might be stuck there and freeze to death, but you're not, unless you hit your head or something, you're not going to drown. But. But when you're out on that ice, you just got to be more, careful. Like, I got a spud with me, and I'll check the ice. I'm like the one time that I fell through and didn't check it there. But you know, I wear ice cleats, you know, because you're working with a chainsaw on the ice. And, a lot of times I'm by myself. So, you know, something happens, you're just done. And so I wear ice cleats. You know, I don't want to slip and fall and hit my head. And the reason I know that I don't want to do that is because I used to do that when I was younger and dumber. Yeah. Now I'll spend the $8 on the ice cleats.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, she wants to know, which you've already kind of said, but why are they crossing the lake or running on the lake?
Yeah, it's like a travel area. It's railroads, power lines, stuff like that are travel areas. Well, them are, become travel areas because... they haven't been able to get out there. That's been a barrier, up until that point. So, that's been a barrier where they couldn't go. They had to just run the edge. Well, now it's not a barrier. The woods has actually become the barrier, and the frozen becomes the travel way.
Mm-hmm.
And they're down in that area anyways because they're going to filter down into that tighter cover. And, because it's cold up higher and it's going to be warmer down in, like, the edge of cedar swamp, balsam, beaver pond. It's going to be just a few degrees warmer down in there. And the wind isn't going to hit them, too, so. And that's where all the rabbits and stuff are, a lot of times down in that thicker cover.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, how do you carry your stuff out there? Snow machine, like a little kid's sled, or on a backpack? How do you get
your stuff? It depends on, how I'm doing it. If I'm traveling like boat launches and stuff, just pulling down there, I just got my trapping bag. But I got an Articat snow machine, and I got a jet sled, that hooks on the back of it. And I'll carry all my stuff in that jet sled and, go right down the lake with that. But, if I'm on inland lakes, I feel safer with that than I do, going out on Lake Huron. There's so much current out there and changing ice conditions all the time. It's spooky going out on parts of Lake Huron with that, where I live with the snow machine.
Oh, I bet.
So generally, I'll just walk out there with a jet sled and, make my sets and stuff and come back.
So you're pulling the sled behind you like you're the sled dog?
Yep, like I'm the sled dog.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, the next question, have you ever had a giblet freeze and just fall off when you were out there?
No.
Okay.
Not yet. No, not yet. And that fell through the ice and hurt a giblet before. Never froze up.
Are your sets closer or further apart when you're ice trapping?
I would say closer because you're covering less territory. I mean you've been with me before and see how many miles I go between sets sometimes. But
mm-hmm.
On that ice, you're more limited, and a lot of times you're targeting the same coyotes because it seems like it'll be two to four running down that ice together, and at least two. And so I'm setting closer, but you're also picking up odd animals like maybe a fox or catch an accidental cat or something.
Now, are you setting places like where we shot the F&T show? Is that the type of, do you set water like that with the muskrat marshes everywhere, but even though it's kind of closer to town, do you go to the back of those and set?
You remember where that boat launch was, we went down there and put the DP, and we seen coon tracks down there, and they never came back to that spot.
Yeah, yeah.
Right out in front of there is one of my favorite spots. I go right out there on that lake, and them reeds are out there, and I mean, they filter right down perfect. I mean, they'll have like a cow trail running down the edge of that lake.
Cool. Okay. Her last question is, does the steak ever pull out when you put it through the ice?
Nope. I never had one pull out. Saying it couldn't, but it's, I've tried every way steak in them things. I mean, I've went and took a re-rod and beat it through. Basically you're naming them. I don't know if any other ones work or don't work or whatever. I just always use the little things to beat them through. And, once they go through, they just hold, but like I said, is it possible that it ever, I can't never say never, but I haven't had a problem.
Well,
using, like I say, 3/3-second cable.
How thick of ice do you feel comfortable doing that with?
4 inches.
Okay.
If I can get a trap, as soon as I can get it where that trap will be cut, I can get that trap down in the ice. Because if it's 4 inches of ice, you can't have like a thin layer underneath, to, seep up on you.
And plus, you'd almost think if it was too thin, the animal would fall through.
Yeah. They can run on ice that we couldn't even walk on, and once in a while you'll see where them coyotes run down that thin ice, and 1 foot will break through or something, but they don't seem as spooky as me out on that ice. So
when I was trapping up in Canada. On one of those islands, which I'm not even going to say the territory because I wasn't supposed to legally be up there, I was amazed. They said that when the ice forms, and it was one of the big lakes, but when the ice forms, it took us, you could see the land on the other side, but I mean, it was a long way. It had to have been 2 or 3 miles. They said as soon as that ice got thick enough for those coyotes, they would go from island to island just raping and pillaging.
Oh, yeah. I believe that.
And then they would know when to leave because of all the human activity. They would know when to leave before it thawed out. So they very rarely did they ever stay on the island.
It seems like on that, they probably are, like I say, they're doing the same thing all the time, not on the island and the ice, but I know on that ice, they're always moving, and it's unbelievable the amount of territory them things cover.
Well, for one, if they sit still too long, it'd be cold.
Yep.
You'd think. I would be.
I know I would be. I just made me a little lean-to and lay down there and probably die.
So?
No, it's a lot of fun trapping in the snow and the ice. I mean, is it harder? Yeah, it's definitely harder. But the thing is, it's no harder than, being in Louisiana or Alabama trapping, and you get, a 6 or 8 inch rain, and you're fighting the clay, I mean, everything's hard when you're dealing with it, when you're personally dealing with it. I mean, everybody always has a cry-ass story, and I have mine, but it's been tough there. It's been tough here, it's a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun trapping in the snow.
I mean, I guess the main point of what you're saying, if you wanna have easy, go out west, where it's low humidity,
yep.
Low rain, all that type stuff.
Yep. Head west, Buttercup. And the good thing about trapping in the snow, October, November, like when you were here, you'll have, you'll catch possums, you'll catch coon. In the wintertime, you don't catch a lot of that the off catches. You're just running. If you ain't got a coyote or a predator that's forced to be out there, you don't have, usually a ton of, you don't have hardly any possum unless it warms up, and they start to move and like it's 40, 45.
Well, so, yeah, makes you wonder kind of what they do all winter.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully die. But our possum numbers are down up here. One guy asked me the other day, he said, "Will you just send any possums into Napa?" I'm like, our possums are a little dinks. I mean, they look like a tip mustard, you know, for the most part.
Yeah, I remember how small they were. I was surprised.
Yeah, we but I mean, I think it was like in the early 90s when we got possums. We didn't have no possums up here. Like when I was, you know, a teenager traveling and stuff, there was no possums here.
Well, I mean, the other day, Jeff, you know, there was an armadillo killed on the side of the road in Dunlap. We have never seen an armadillo. None of the old timers have ever. There were people poking it with sticks, looking at it on the side of the road. It was like, you know, a T-Rex showed up, and this poor armadillo got ran over by a car. You know, I mean, stuff this. Well, it's the same as coyotes here back in the 80s, early 80s. You caught a coyote, I mean, that was like a big deal because there just wasn't any.
No, that's how it was here, too. We still had red fox then. Then the parvo wiped them out and the coyotes finished them off. I've only seen one armadillo on the road up here, and I put it there as a joke.
Well, I'm hoping this was a joke.
Yeah.
I don't want to be dealing with them things when I'm otter trapping, because I don't know how they find their way into otter sets, but they do.
I've caught some things in, like, I thought maybe they dried up and they went through. I don't know why they were in, you know, deep water, but
I think they, if they're going on a trail, they're like a, you know, like one of the, you know, zombie or Pirates of the Caribbean. They just walk on the bottom.
I believe that. I don't think they're real smart.
I mean, it's crazy. Well, I do want to do a little bit of bragging to make you uncomfortable before we finish up.
Oh, awesome.
Awesome. So, me and you, unbeknownst to each other when we started, we both lost a lot of weight. And the reason I want to bring this up is, so when you see Jeff at a convention, don't automatically think that he's got cancer or he's ill or he's got some type of Lyme disease or something like that. Because it is a huge transformation. Would you agree with that?
No, I would agree with that.
Now, how much have you lost, Jeff? Because, I mean, it's impressive.
107 pounds.
So, you've lost...
I rock hard, Jeff, but again, I'm starting to get there.
So, you've lost a whole Rockwaller, and I'm still at the German Shepherd stage.
Yeah, like I told you, I've lost a hot chick. Yeah, so
you've lost a what?
I lost a hot chick.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So when y'all guys see him, don't automatically assume he's sick, because he's not. He's just been crazy disciplined.
Yeah. Well, I was on medication from the doctor, and I gained weight. And I just got off that, and I just said, I don't want to do this anymore. And on September 12th, that's the thing is, don't put something off. Just get on it. I'm so glad that I started that September 12th. I feel so much better. And 8 months later, I lost 100 pounds. And, I feel a lot better. I'm back to being myself the way I'm happy being. And, I'm glad I didn't wait till the day to start.
Mm-hmm. Well, the biggest thing that I can tell, and I've only lost about 80, but the biggest thing that I can tell is getting up and down. You just don't even think about it anymore.
No. The thing I noticed the most, I got to keep going in and buying different pants.
Oh.
Because if I was still wearing the original ones I started with, they'd probably arrest me. So they'd be dragging around my ankles. Oh.
Cindy is so upset. Well, I'm not going to say so upset. Upset's not the right word. She is dismayed. Let's put it that way. I have not bought one stitch of breeches or shorts since I've lost 80 pounds. So I've got to have suspenders, and I have them under my shirt just so my pants don't fall down.
Yeah.
But the other day, for a joke, I put 6 2-liter Coke bottles around my waist just to get it to where it was tight. So, you know, like when she sees me, like in the evening before getting to bed and stuff, and I take my shirt off, I look like one of them clowns that has a barrel on with the pants.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, if I go buy pants now and I lose 20 more pounds, I got to go buy more pants, and that's just a waste of money.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've been doing. I'm definitely glad that I did it. I feel 100% better.
So, like
I told you, though, the weird thing is eating with sugar in and all, and it, you know, makes you feel wacky. All I did was 1,200 calories or less a day, you know, and then most days 750. So I feel better on 750 calories than I do on 3,000 to 4,000.
Wow. I mean, that's crazy discipline, dude. That's not the way I did it.
No, I know that's not the way you did it, but both ways work, but, you know, everybody's got different ways that work differently, and, you know, I kept trying. I tried that Nutrisystem thing, you know, but in the end, you just got to it's portion control, and you just got to, when you figure you're going to mess up, and when you mess up, like if I mess up right now and I go into Wendy's and get a hamburger, when I get home, I'm not continuing that trend, and tomorrow morning, I'm not continuing that trend. I'm not going to do it. I don't give a crap what happens. I'm not doing it. I just got it mentally in my head that I'm not doing it. And it's important to me. And I mean, if it's not important to you, it ain't going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't important to me before. That's why I gained all the weight. You know, and also the medication, but more than that, it wasn't important to me.
Well, I was thinking the other day, you know, I'm doing a lot of stuff with the farming, peasant farming is a way to talk about it, but I bet I'm burning pizza that I ate when I was, you know, in the military. I bet I'm, I mean, when you, that's the only way that can still be there.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool.
I know you're happy, you know, that you started it also, you know, and the weird thing is being good friends we are, that we didn't even know what was doing that. We just went and did it, and then we're talking later, months later, and, you know, it came off.
I mean, because to me, it was just like, okay, I'm just not going to eat any more refined foods. And that led me to doing a bunch of research and then looking at the saturated fat and stuff doesn't make you fat, and I like, you know, meat with fat on it, so that just kind of clicked, you know.
And I will say that nothing gives me more joy in my heart, because I've always been heavier than him, is to say, Norm Blackwell, you fat ass. nothing gives me more joy than that. Because that's what he used to say to me, so.
Well, maybe that'll get him going in a different direction.
I've been trying, but yeah.
So
that's great.
So when does the Dunlap lure plan hit the market?
Never. I've been some, like, my daughters put up pictures of me on Facebook, like at the family or different. You know, I had different guys telling me, how'd you lose the weight? You know, the one first auction, the one guy asked me if I had cancer. I said, well, I mean, whoever knows, but that's not why I lost the weight, you know. Thanks for your, you know, but, you know, but I, you know, if I could help somebody, you know, a trapper, you lose weight and get healthier and be happier like I am, I definitely would help them. I mean, it's no secret. I ain't exercising. All I'm doing is trapping and working, you know, in the trapping industry, doing my thing, in eating less. I'm not getting on no treadmill. I went and bought a treadmill, and I went on for about 20 minutes. I said, this is pointless. I ain't doing this. You ain't going nowhere. I'm not getting nothing done. This is a waste of time. And, I mean, I spent a lot of money on this treadmill when this all started, and I told my daughter, I said, I ain't even moving that heavy thing. I said, if you sell it, you keep the money for it. I don't ever want to see it ever again. You know, so... She sold it. Some guy come and picked it up.
We've got one on the back porch. It's been there for 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, the kind that compresses up, you know, and it was expensive. I'm the same way. It was kind of like, this is pointless.
Yeah. I'm embarrassed how much I paid for this thing, you know, and I wouldn't even say. This thing, it did everything. It had a headset thing, and I thought, oh, I watch Fox News, and, you know, I ain't doing that. I ain't exercising. I get enough exercise out walking around doing my thing.
Well, I bet, yeah. Well, all right, brother. I appreciate you coming on. Like I said, I just didn't feel comfortable talking about it from... I just don't think I have enough practical experience on the ice to be telling people how to catch coyotes there.
Well, yeah. Like I said, I'll put that video up on Wolfer Nation YouTube. And channel, and then they can see. I think I got one for sure, maybe two of them. You know, it shows how to make the different sets. So,
okay, that'll work, man. Well, I appreciate it.
Okay, see you, Clint.
See ya.
Go ahead and crank this on up. Up south of the Mason-Dixon, working, spitting, hunting, and fishing. Stone cold country by the grace of God. I was gassing up the other day, an old boy pulled up with a license plate from Ohio. Thought, oh good Lord, he's lost. From his Wranglers to his boots, he reminded me of Chris LeDoux. That Copenhagen smile, the country must be country wide. And every state, there's a station, playing Cash, Hank, Willie, and Waylon. Foreign cars and four-wheel drives. There's cowboys and hillbillies, farm towns, big cities. There ain't no doubt in my mind, country must be country wide. Where it's how you live. We weren't raised to take what we were raised to give. The shirt off our back to anyone in need. We bow our heads before we eat, before we start our day, before we fall asleep. Cause in God we trust and we believe. Yeah, we see what's wrong and we know what's right. And old Hank has said it all. He said country folks can't survive. In every state, there's a station, playing Cash, Hank, Willie, and Waylon. Foreign cars and four-wheel drives. There's cowboys and hillbillies, farm towns, the big cities. There ain't no doubt in my mind, country must be countrywide. There's a station. Come on. Y'all better crank this up. And every state, there's a station. Playing Cash, Hank, Willie, and Waylon. And foreign cars and four-wheel drives. There's cowboys, hillbillies, farm towns, the big cities. There ain't no doubt in my mind. Must be countrywide.